all other things are like that. If you, for example, do, if you give money for the sake of Allah, Allah will increase that money many times for you. So, if you look at, for example, Iman, what is Iman? Iman is an attachment of the heart, emotional attachment. If you ask a Christian, do you have faith? You say, yeah, I have faith. What do you have faith in? You say, I have faith in this and this and this. So he's, of course, he's born and raised in a Christian family. He has faith in what he's been told. And if you ask him, are you sure this is true? What will he say? So yes, I'm sure. In whatever he or she believes in, he's pretty sure about it. It's been told so many times. They have been thinking about it, accepted it. They have practiced this for so long. They're sure about it. They have faith in it. They have faith in it. Now we are Muslims, Shia Muslims. We are born in Shia Muslim families. The set of teachings given to us are these teachings, you know, Tawheed, Adl, Nubuwwat, Imamat, and Akhirat. These are the teachings we have grown up with. We believe in it. Are we sure about them? Yes, we are sure about them. If you ask us, if we ask ourselves reasons why we believe in it, we will be able to give some reason, just as they will be able to give some reason. But for both of these people who have just maintained this basic level of Iman, their faith is also shaken very easily. If you show them some discrepancies in their, you know, what belief system. If you show them that, for example, why is that other faith, Islam for instance, makes more sense than what they believe in. Any doubt that comes into their mind, it shakes up their whole system of their beliefs. Similarly, a person who is a Muslim, a Shia, you know, Isna Ashari, everything. If he or she is, her belief is just the basic belief. Yeah, goes for once in a while for a religious service and doesn't really, has not pursued any learning in this path. Smallest doubts can possibly shake up everything inside. For example, believing in God, there is one God, He's wise, everything. And then someone puts this doubt in the mind, that if God is just, then why are there so many misfortunes, so many disasters, so many people, for example, babies born, you know, with disabilities, why are there so many people being killed around the world? Why this, why that? You start raising these questions, the person has no answer. Now, some people, they are not shaken up easily, because they may not know the right answers, but they are sure about what they believe in. But there are some who realize that they weren't really sure. So, doubts and shubuhat, what they call shubuhat. Shubuhat can basically, you know, destroy the iman of a person. This basic iman of a person who just lived with this faith because he was born in a faith. Correct? While I'm discussing this, some of you might be thinking, okay, so what's the difference? We are born in Shia Muslim family, they are born in Christian family, what's the difference? If they were born in Shia family, they would be Shia Muslims. If we were born in those families, we would be Christians today. This question does come in the mind. So, the person asking this question actually has assumed one thing. Before asking this question, something else has happened in the mind which allowed this person to raise this question. What has happened first is that he thought there are things that are happening by chance. So if, for example, this if is by chance, right? So if I was born in a Christian family, I would be Christian. If. Which means there is a chance, like it happens by coincidence, that I am born in a Shia Muslim family and that person is born in a Christian family, for instance. And it, if, so the if means that there both were equal options, that either this could happen or that could happen. But now this happened. What if that would have happened? What if a person would be born in another faith? Most likely would remain in that faith forever. That's what they say, right? This question, that this itself is a doubt. This itself can confuse a person. And I'm saying the basic level of iman is not enough. It can easily be shaken up. People lose their faith because they stay on this level of basic iman. So when you say, when a person says, well, if I was born there, I mean, he thinks, he assumes that this happened by chance. Well, the Holy Quran is full of this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had the knowledge of everything that He would create, as He would create it, as He would, it would exist, when it would be created, right? All its characteristics, all its qualities, right? Before it, after it, everything was known to him. Then he, it was like the thing he was about to create, this world he was about to create, was begging to Allah, you know, for his grace. Because everything had a place before it was created. And he gave it existence in its proper place. So he knew even a drop of rain falling from the sky, where it will reach on earth, he knew it. He knew it. Every leaf of a tree falling, when and where, he had prior knowledge of it. And it did not happen by chance. Right? The actions of human beings, the actions of jinns, are based on free will and choice. All other things are predetermined. Predetermined in the sense that, well, Allah had made a course for them and they are following it. Right? Yes, animals also have ikhtiyar, the qudrat, they have their power to choose, but they don't have intelligence. They don't have intelligence. Human beings have power to choose, and human beings also have akal, intelligence. What's our difference with angels? Angels have intelligence too, but they don't have the power to choose. They cannot change their course, they cannot change their levels. They are the way they are. Right? مَا مِنَّا إِلَّا وَلَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ Quran says that angels in the voice of, in the language of angels, that all of us have their own places, fixed places. They have duties assigned, they have positions, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Him, all of that. Human beings have choice. And this choice, of course, and jinns have choice, right? But even this choice was in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we will eventually do, everything He knew beforehand. So, for us to be born in a Muslim and a Shia family, for instance, it did not happen as a coincidence. We should be thankful for it. We should not discount it by saying, well, what if? Because what if means that things in this universe are just happening on their own. Where will you draw the line? Chance what? Chance, it takes, anything could happen, either way, no. He repeats, the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran repeats it. He knows all that's in the heaven, all that's in the, on the earth. He knows, you know. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا وَيَعْلَمُهَا Not a leaf of tree falls except that He knows about it. And He knows what you are doing. You know, يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, he knows what is in the womb of the mother. And some people think what's in the womb of the mother, it probably means it's a boy or a girl. No, that's our own interpretation of it. Yes, that's part of it. But being in the womb of the mother is not limited to a gender. What will be the fate of the person born from this mother? Maybe this child born from this mother is an atheist. This boy becomes a believer. He knows what's in the womb of the mother. Not just in terms of gender, in terms of the iman and faith, the path he'll follow. Everything is in his knowledge. But this level of iman, which is basic, because you have been gifted with your aqidah and your iman in wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam, salawat. First, we need to be thankful for this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then build a firm basis for this iman. This iman itself, if it stays at this level, many things can corrupt this iman. Many things. Wrong ideas, confusion, doubts can ruin this iman, mess up this iman. Similarly, bad practices, bad influences, bad choices, bad actions can also ruin this iman. In the verse of Quran they say, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ السُّوءُ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The end result of those who were doing bad things, the end result of that was that they denied the signs of Allah. So bad actions lead to denial of reality, denial of haqq. Bad choices, asa'u su, person who is involved in wrongdoings, one after another, will eventually, is losing iman, and will continue to lose iman until he will deny iman and deny the haqq, and in fact turn against the haqq. This is the eventual result of the bad choices of people. So iman is corrupted by doubts, right? And iman is corrupted by wrong choices. So we have to be at, as they say, high alert. That this iman is something very precious, and it's at risk. We don't build a firm basis for this iman, it's quite possible that we end up losing it. Na'uzu billah min zalik. You know. That's why imams say that there are so many people, you know, who will not receive our shafa'at. Our shafa'at will not reach people who are such. People who don't care about prayers, for example. Don't care about mustakhiffan bis salat. People who don't care about it. Don't give any importance to prayer, for example. They will not receive. Shafa'at of intercession of A'imma alayhi salam will not be given randomly. There has to be something. Like you want to start a business, an example. If you have something, then you can borrow more money on it. You know, if you say, for example, I have 100,000, can I borrow another 200,000? If you go out and say, I want to start this business, I need some capital, can you loan me some money? Well, the next person will definitely ask you, well, do you have any cash? Do you have any capital? Alaykum salam. You want me to invest in your business? Do you have it? What do you have? So, if you say, I have nothing, what would you give you capital to? Risk his money, you know? Now, these are material examples, and not perfect examples, but just this faith of iman being born in this, with this iman itself is a grace of Allah, and also it's not randomly given to us. We don't know what happened before this life. We don't know. If there was a way for us to go back to Alam Zar, to the world before this world, where we came from, that other life, if we were there, this, all this will make sense to us. All this in this world is based on other factors that happened before this life. But we don't have access to it. That's why Quran in the beginning says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. Because there's so much. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. There's very little knowledge that you all have been given. So there's more knowledge that's not been given compared to what we have been given. What we know is very small compared to the amount of knowledge that's out there. Salawat. No, Mr. Nana. So this iman needs to be completed. One way to make this iman stronger and more complete is to understand the basis of it. That means apply our mind and achieve ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is a kind of knowledge which brings awakening. Knowledge that brings awakening. And that also has two levels. The first level of awakening, knowledge with awakening, is when, for example, you look at the world around you. Take lessons from it. You look at how powerful, civilizations, they disintegrated. How famous, popular people, they lost their respect, lost their fame and their popularity, right? How rich people lost everything, right? These are the lessons to be learned, ibrat. When Quran says, in this is ibrat for you. That means there's lesson for you to learn from it. To learn this kind of lesson, you don't need many years of education. All you need to know is what to look for. Have a sensitive mind, that you're able to concentrate on that part of this world which will awaken your mind, awaken your heart about the reality of this world. Another way to achieve basic ma'rifat, because with basic iman comes basic ma'rifat. To be able to climb this ladder up to the next level, one level of ma'rifat has to come along with this iman. Another way to do the same level of elementary ma'rifat, which is possible for all of us, we don't have to go to college for that, is, for instance, drawing lessons from history. Well, there are times when we take a course, for example, in world history, or American history, or I don't know what history, history of civilization. And what are we learning in that? We're learning, for example, so-and-so was the emperor of Rome. He was born this year, this is where he lived in, or this empires were created in these regions, and then they fell after some time. These were the reasons and causes and all of that. And then, for example, between these two empires, there were conflicts, there were wars. This power won this battle over the other one. Details of incidents, places, people, dates, all of that stuff. That's one way to study history. But that's not the kind of history you will find in Holy Quran. Holy Quran is packed with history, full of history. Most surahs of Quran have reference to history. They talks in detail. Some historical incidents have been repeated. The events of Bani Israel, for instance. You see so much detail in Quran. But that detail has nothing to do with where they were, who they were, dates, times, names of people, no, none of that. Very few dates, very few names, no dates at all. Who won, who lost? It's like saying today, who won the election, who lost the election? Who won a war, who lost the war? In the Holy Quran, that's not important. Holy Quran does not give any weight to this. Does not give any importance to such details of history. Because it's not important for the Holy Quran. what you can, the way you can view history and awaken your mind and your soul and your heart is a different way of looking at history. You look at history with the eye of a person who's looking at these two, you know, lines of haq and batil drawn throughout history. One line of the people who were the centerpiece of history, which were the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Aimma Athar alayhi salatu wa salam. You look at history through the eyes of a person who is trying to distinguish between right and wrong. So the conflict in history for you would not be a conflict between Roman Empire and Persian Empire, because it's meaningless anyways. To learn that kind of history carries no value. What value does it carry for you to know, for example, all the details about in which century what happened, in which place what happened? These are all meaningless details. People memorize these for getting their degrees in colleges. There's no other purpose for this. No use for them. The value and the importance of knowing history is only when you know what is right and what is wrong. And in the Holy Quran, history revolves around the prophets of Allah, the heroes, as they say. The center of history are the prophets of Allah. Although they didn't own much, they don't own anything. Very simple. How Quran presents history. That you align yourself, you know, with those people who were on the path of Haqq, and you distance yourself from the characters and the actions of people who resemble those characters in history. What sort of people were on the side of Haqq in the past in the eyes of Quran, and what sort of people were on the path of batil, wrong, falsehood? So you don't associate with those people, and you don't allow yourself to practice those things or accept those ideas, you know. In Holy Quran, for instance, the word Shia is used many places, at least twice I can think of right now. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمُ. Ibrahim was a Shia of Nuh alayhi salam. The distance between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nuh was how much? Between Prophet Nuh and Prophet Ibrahim, it was probably more than 2,000 years. Ibrahim is a Shia of Nuh. Quran is, you know, drawing a line straight up to you, saying this is Shia of that. For example, in the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he enters the city, people were unaware, people were in the ghaflat, you know, in ghaflat. And he saw two men fighting. Hadha min shi'atihi wa hadha min aduwihi. These two people were fighting, one of them is a Shia of Musa alayhi salam. The other is his enemy. Hadha min shi'atihi, that is, this one of those two people who were having this wrestling, this fighting, one of them is a Shia of Musa alayhi salam. And the other, Quran says, min aduwwihi, he was the enemy of Musa. So the word Shia has come in the context of one of the Ulul Azm prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person with the same views and same beliefs as Musa alayhi salam, he was called his Shia. And a person who did not share the same beliefs and same morals as Musa alayhi salam was called enemy of Musa alayhi salam. So there is a haq and there is a batil. And the history, the way it's presented in the Quran, it's eye-opening. It doesn't have so much information, but it has that which we need to awaken ourselves, to build our iman further, enrich it, make, build roots for our iman. This is that. This is the thing we can do. This kind of ma'rifat, any one of us can achieve. Any one of us can do that. Awaken ourselves also in other ways. Well, this, these examples were through, for example, through reading or witnessing and all that. There are other ways also, by being involved in things that can also give you some ma'rifat, awaken you. For example, visiting a graveyard once in a while. If you go and see, well, these people buried in the graveyard, they were people just like me, walking, you know, working and living like me. Where are they? What happened to them? If I could hear what they are saying, what would they say to me today? This is through another experience of bringing ma'rifat. Or just the participation in tashi janaza. Someone dies, you in Islam, the way tashi janaza is does, it's a duty of, it's not a commercialized thing. Islam wants people to participate, everybody to participate in janaza. When somebody dies, you don't just send the body to funeral home and say, okay, next week we'll come and figure out when do we want to bury him. No. Islam says, take care of the burial as soon as you can. And it's wajib on everyone to go for the janaza. Wajib in a different way. It's a duty, but not everyone has to actually go. If you have enough people taking care of the burial, the ghusl, kafan, dafn, all of these things, you have people over there, then the rest of the people don't have to go actually. But it's still recommended. It is said in our hadith that if you are invited to a wedding, it's not advised to go very early. But if you are invited to a janaza, then go early. Right? You have been encouraged to go for a janaza early and stay there more. But if you are invited to a wedding, go there, of course. But why? You're going to a wedding will remind you of this dunya more. Celebrations, you know. These will bring up the love of this life more in you. But participating in a funeral, taking part in a, you know, funeral service, in a tashi janaza, will remind you of akhirat. Remind you of the other world. In other words, it's going to awaken you. It's going to show you the reality of this dunya. But this will not show the reality. Although it sounds very enjoyable, going to a wedding. Of course, a social event, people, somebody is getting married, you are invited, you will go. But the reality of this dunya is that this dunya is a very temporary place. It's a place very transient, as they say. It's going to be over before we know. Because there's no promised time for death. We have not been told, for example, okay, everyone will come, now live for 80 years and then die. There's no such promise. We have been just told that death could come anytime. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَخْدِمُونَ. When death comes upon them, they cannot delay it even 1 minute, 1 second. They cannot even bring it earlier. The death that, you know, a person of course goes, commits suicide, that's different. But the time of death is not known to us. And it can happen anytime. World, this dunya is very short. In our hadith, now I'm mentioning this because in the context of iman, that our, this iman, if a person does not build a strong foundation for this iman, it can be corrupted very easily. Especially if a person thinks, well, I am born in a Shia family, I am Shia. If a person thinks this happened by chance, first of all, nothing happens by chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim and He's Adil. He knows every single thing that will happen in this universe from the start till the end. Nothing is happening by chance. If Allah has given you a favor, a ni'mat, that you are born in a family of believing family, it's a favor that you need to be thankful about. And do your part to guide other people. And build on this iman and improve on this iman by first starting with your, you know, building your ma'rifat. These simple methods, simple steps I just mentioned, you know, for ma'rifat. You don't have to go to college or take any courses for it. This is something you just view things differently. You see things the way they really are. The message that they carry for you, that's the part that's important for you. Now, some people are gifted with the ability to grasp, you know, more detail of things. They study, for example, that's ma'rifat madrasi, you know, that's like, that's through proper learning. For example, philosophy, learning tafsir of Quran or other things. You know, more study is needed. Like those who go for Hawza, to study Islamic sciences. But not everyone has that talent, and some people do. Some people want to train themselves to become good thinkers, you know, understand Islamic belief, Islamic viewpoint, Islamic worldview, and be able to, you know, understand it, grasp it. This is, intellectually speaking, this is another level, but that's not for everyone. But Islam says, study, tafaqqahu fi al-deen, learn religion, go into the depths of religion, to the extent that you can. Whatever is possible for you, go and achieve that level. And in practice also it is equally important, so that the belief is correct. How would you know, like a person who doesn't have adequate knowledge of his beliefs, he's just living with a very basic iman right now. In real terms, people are four classes. There are those who have the right beliefs and their practices are also good. That means they are good-natured people. They're, you know, their akhlaq is good, their morals, they're good practicing people in terms of human qualities, you know, honesty, all of these qualities, justice. There are people with right beliefs and right actions. There are people with wrong beliefs and wrong actions on the other side of the thing. Then there are those who have right beliefs but bad actions. Then there are those people, fourth, that their actions are good but their beliefs are wrong. You find, for example, Christians, many people whose actions are so good, their beliefs are absolutely wrong. The interesting thing is it's all possible with human beings. You can either be corrupted in terms of your beliefs or corrupted in terms of your practice. That means your morals. We are aiming for to become, you know, Kamil. We are aiming to become as people whose aqa'id are sahih, their beliefs are correct, and our practices are equally good. And that happens through both things, through understanding what is good and bad, and also by practicing upon them. For example, all these instructions in ilm akhlaq, akhlaq amali, that what our prophets have told us. Well, there are a lot of things people realize, but there are things that they don't. The things that they don't realize, the prophets came to, you know, turn their attention to those things. People know, for example, that we need food, we need to have income, we need to have a place to live. All of these things people know. We need to have some sense of power, some level of freedom. These are things people, you know, understand the value of these things. But there are a lot of things people do not value. Some people do, but a lot of people do not value those things. the value of shaja'at, for example. Shaja'at. Shaja'at is hard to translate. It's courage, you know, that you don't feel fear in your heart. You're on the path of haqq and you don't feel fear in your heart. In fact, when danger comes, your iman increases with danger. This is shaja'at. This, I'll just give one example, for example. The shaja'at, many people don't even have a concept of shaja'at, for example. They don't, how would they then value the shaja'at? This is not what they, the example they do, for example, in these wrestling or boxing, people, one is stronger than the other, beats the other person up. This is not shaja'at. Shuja'at is not when you overpower the other person necessarily. Shuja'at is when you are outnumbered by enemies and you don't feel any fear in your heart. Instead, this challenge increases your iman and you feel really good about it, because it gives you more strength and more motivation. You derive a spiritual and intellectual pleasure by being, for example, in this situation. Like Janab Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam in Karbala, one person went towards the river, one person alone, to get water, for example. He was asked to bring water for the children of Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam. History is different about this event. Some historical accounts say there were 9,000 soldiers posted, you know, they were placed near the river bank to guard the river so that no one will, from the camp of Sayyid al-Shuhada will come and be able to get water from the river. There are other accounts that go down to 4,000, for example. Even if it's down to 1,000, let's say, one person against 1,000, 4,000, 9,000 people. There's no match. Even in Holy Quran, in the Battle of Badr, for example, Quran says, one of you were Sabirun, right? You could fight 20 people. One of you fight 20 people. Quran doesn't say one of you fight 500 people. Correct? Abbas ibn Ali, alayhim as-salam, he went towards the river alone. He was holding an alam in his hands and a mashkiza to get water. And he was fighting his way through all the way. And he got to the river. Now what sort of obstacles? If you look at the landscape in those times, Karbala, there were trees all the way up to that Nahr al-Qamah. That canal, the river you call it, there were trees, and there were these thousands of this whole army there, more than an army, and people who were sitting in ambush all over, with arrows, stones, lances, all this. Abbas ibn Ali alayhi salam, he didn't stop for a minute. He didn't think twice about it. And he went all the way to get the water, and he got into the river and he took water, he filled up the, you know, mashkiza, and then he took water in his hands. On his way back, he was surrounded by enemies. This is shaja'at. This is shaja'at. We know that although Muhammad bin Hanafiya was a great commander, but once Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Muhammad, go, attack now. In battle, probably it was battle of Siffin. And he resisted a little bit. Imam alayhi salam asked him, what are you waiting for? And he said, I want these arrows to die down. Then I will attack. And Imam said, you have been affected by the genes of your mother. Mother is very important. Abbas ibn Ali's mother was Umm al-Baneen. Now, Muhammad bin Hanafiya was a very strong person, a very brave warrior, no doubt. But on that, at that event, on that at that moment, he resisted a little bit, right? And Imam alayhi salam took the sword and he charged right through the arrows into the army, went all the way back, and then came back fighting, and he showed him, this is how you fight. Shaja'at is not a physical quality. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith that مَا خَلَعْتُ بَابَ خَيْبَرْ بِقُوَّةٍ جَسَدِيَةٍ. I did not take out the door of Khaybar with my physical strength. I took it out with the spiritual strength with which my Rabb had given me. You know, power was given to me inside me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These morals, these kamalat insani, you know, kamalat aqli, these are the things towards which the prophets and Aima alayhi salam, they wanted to draw our attention. These are things we are missing. Yes, those physical things we all understand ourselves. We all need to study, make our future. Everybody understands. We don't need any guidance and teaching from Allah to understand that we have to work and earn money and pay our bills. Everybody knows that. What we don't understand is there are a whole bunch of these qualities that we have overlooked. One glimpse of that you can get in, for example, Du'a Makarim al-Akhlaq. I read a few words. You go through these Makarim, these Kamalat, these are Kamalat Ruhani, Kamalat Aqli, Kamalat Insani. Those are the things our A'imma alayhi salam were drawing our attention to. To show the people that, for example, material things, you know, are important as long as those intellectual things are not being overlooked. If intellectual and moral and spiritual things are being overlooked, are being compromised, these material things have no value. They all need to be sacrificed to achieve the spiritual, you know, spiritual qualities. And that's what they stood for. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, they all went in that time when they were outnumbered. People had become slaves of this dunya. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam told everybody that this caravan is going towards death, going towards maut. On every occasion after leaving Medina, he was constantly emphasizing maut. خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَى وُلْدِ آدَمْ مَخَطَّ الْقَلَادَةِ عَلَى جِيدِ الْفَتَحِ. He says death has been written for every person, just like the mark of a necklace around a young lady. Death is really close here. It's here, you know. Before we know, we will go. Death is the outcome of this journey. Hussain alayhi salam said, death is the outcome. Any one of you who has hopes of winning this battle, don't come with me. Anyone who thinks, who's living with this impression that we are going to occupy something, get power in our hands, or we achieve material success, don't come with us. Because this caravan, this journey is for to see really who the real believers are, with strong Iman Kamil, those who will stand up for those great spiritual qualities. Because those are missing in the society today. It's because of lack of those qualities that there's so much corruption, there's so much injustice, lack of those qualities that people have turned their backs on Akhirat. They have forgotten the Akhirat. They become slaves of this dunya. An-nasu abidu dunya wa dinu la'iqun ala al-sinatihim. Muhammad al-Islam said, people are slaves of this dunya. And deen is la'iqun ala al-sinatihim. That means it's just, you know, in their words. Deen is just their words. It doesn't go beyond words. It's just limited to their speech. All the deen is limited to what they say. In practice, they are slaves of dunya. And to counter this trend, to stop this trend of people destroying themselves, destroying everything, all the work of the Anbiya alayhi salam, this great family of Aba Abdullah, who was trained to such a degree that neither before Karbala nor after Karbala we see any trace of, you know, doubt in their minds. Even after seeing the biggest calamity, see the people being killed in front of them, see how their children were slaughtered, and after the tragedy happened in Karbala, the family of Imam al-Islam were taken prisoners from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham, Damascus. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used to, when he was asked, what was the most difficult time for you, Ibn Rasulullah, he said, the toughest time for me was Sham. Once Imam Ali ibn Hussein was crying, and they said, how long will you cry? And Imam alayhi salam said, haven't you heard about Yaqub, that he had 12 sons, and one of those sons was gone missing. He was still alive, but Yaqub could not see him. And Yaqub alayhi salam cried so much, and for so long that he lost his eyesight. And I saw many Yusufs in front of my eyes being slaughtered in the battlefield in Karbala. Another time, when Imam alayhi salam was crying, they asked him, someone who saw the Imam crying this way, 35 years Imam Sajjad was crying. They said, Shahadat is your miras, Ibn Rasulullah. This is the heritage of your family, that you were all martyred. And Imam said, yes, martyrdom is our miras, is our heritage. But being taken captives is not something that we have inherited. It is the first time this has happened. To see our women being taken prisoners, taken on the streets, that their covers, head covers were snatched from them, and people humiliating them, throwing stones at them, calling them names and laughing at them, and celebrating their victory against the Prophet's family. This is not something that is our miras. As this caravan was coming close to Sham, Umm Kulsoom turned towards Shimr. She came to Shimr and she said, and Shimr asked, what is it, daughter of Ali? And she said, Shimr, I have something to ask you. If you are taking us into the city, then take us from a gate that is, there's lesser crowd, and you separate these heads from us so that people get busy looking at these heads and they stop looking at us. Shimr, because of his evil nature, he ordered that these prisoners would all be taken through the main gate of the city of Damascus, where all the crowds had gathered, cheering and celebrating. And he said, keep the heads between these camels, between the camels, so that the crowd would come, and the crowd gathered, and they were cheering, and they were saying, look at these women, look at the daughter of Ali, look at these prophets' family members. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, make Zuhur of Iman close. Oh Allah, protect our mu'mineen across the world and our azadar. Oh Allah, take revenge against the killers of Sayyid al-Shuhada and the killers of azadar across the world, especially in Iraq and in Pakistan. Bless the souls of those who have passed away. Ya Hussein. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك يا نبي الله، السلام عليك يا رسول الله، السلام عليك يا حبيب الله، السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين ويا سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن بن علي المجتبى، السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك منا جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقينا وبقي الليل والنهار ولا